Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show. By all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I make no secret that hockey is probably my favorite sport. In fact, just 2 weeks ago in my ministry moment, I made a reference to wearing one of my, what I should have mentioned is many, Tampa Bay Lightning t-shirts. During the offseason last summer, we watched defenseman Ryan McDonagh get traded to the Nashville Predators. Everyone knew he would be missed. For many years, we would watch him contribute in so many ways on and off the ice, and he was always one of, if not the best, on the Lightning at blocking shots. You would routinely see him sacrifice his body for his goaltender and his teammates to stop another team's shot, knowing full well the speed at which the puck comes off the stick. And then the organization had to make the sacrifice of giving him up and sending him off to Music City so we could stay under the salary cap. That's twice that you just heard me use the word sacrifice, and that's by design since we are heading into Lent. As you prepare to discern what you might do that way during this season in the church, keep in mind also Psalms chapter 4, verse 6, which says, quote, "Offer fitting sacrifices and trust in the Lord." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is 3 months shy of the 10-year anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. He is parochial administrator at Annunciation BVM Parish in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Back in his days as a student athlete, he attended Kutztown University on an athletic scholarship and, as a pole vaulter, won the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Championship. In high school, he had been an all-state pole vaulting champion when he graduated in 2003. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father Sean Loomis.
Hi, Bruce. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I'm grateful to have you on the show. 5 weeks ago on the show, my guest was Zoltan Mesko, who spent many years in the NFL as a punter. He talked about being born in Romania before his family came here to the U.S., and Father Loomis, you too were not born in America. Share with the audience where you were born, why your family was there, and how many siblings you had.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. My dad is part of the United States Marine Corps and served in it for 31 years. So that meant a lot of traveling around. And at the time that my mom was pregnant with me, I was born in Germany where they were stationed at Stuttgart. So I spent a year in Stuttgart before my parents actually split up, and my mom flew myself and my one other sibling, Heather, to the United States where I grew up in Havertown.
Okay, and so then when did you first get interested in sports? Obviously, it was once you got to America, since you were only one when you came here.
Right. It actually was a little bit of kind of a shuffle because finding my place was always a challenge, and so I experimented with a lot of sports as a child, whether that would be soccer and a little bit of basketball, but I always struggled with the team idea, I think largely because my father was not a very strong presence in my life, was not introducing these ideas, these models, rules of engagement to me. So when I was struggling and I missed, it wasn't until elementary school at about fourth grade where it became evident that I had a natural talent for running, and that was during one of the field days. And so I was constantly winning the races and the field activities that I was in. And so once track became a possibility in middle school for me, I immediately jumped on and was involved from winter and spring track as often as I could, and then training in the off-season time.
Okay. And folks, a little foreshadowing here about a story we obviously will hear as the conversation goes along, but Father Loomis, you actually were not baptized Catholic.
That's correct. I was baptized Episcopalian, but I wasn't actually raised in any kind of faith tradition. So I have no memory of entering into a church or learning about Christianity or really even about God in general.
Wow. Amazing. As you were competing in high school and then starting at Kutztown, that was your focus, right? Meaning pole vaulting was the priority for you.
That's 100% correct. As you can imagine, given the instability of the home life and also the radical absence of any kind of cosmological or theological mindset, I really was struggling to find my place in the wider universe, in human society, trying to answer those deep questions that we all have about, like, why am I here? What am I doing here? What happens when I die? And to be honest, the questions were just so big, and it seemed like there was no way of answering them because I had no institution or structure in my life that could provide a sufficient answer. I really just dove into what the world told me to focus on. And at the time, in the 90s and the early 2000s, the big things were money, were social respect, and certainly talent. And I really gave all of my concentration in those areas. So I was on the prom court. I had a lot of friends. I was dating. But most importantly, what set me apart from other people was this talent I had in track and field, but in particular with pole vaulting. And so I gave pole vaulting my absolute everything. It dictated my time, my diet, who I was hanging out with, and what I was doing with my body, my exercise routines, absolutely everything. And that transitioned naturally right into college.
Wow. So please continue, because obviously this was everything for you, and I'm wondering how that continued to evolve, but also when was the breakthrough and what led you to eventually convert to Catholicism? Because clearly we're hearing that you were worshiping at the altar of track and field, and specifically, as you said, pole vault.
Yes, it's true. And so if pole vault is not God, right, if sports are not the end game, and if there's more about our story and our narrative, especially in the mind of God, then naturally we should expect that none of this is going to fill the void. And so when I was in college and I was competing, God really blessed me. He let me take off. My physique was at its peak. I was measuring in sub 4% body fat, and the calculations could no longer detect because it was so low. And and I was fast and I was strong. I won state championships my freshman year. I was 2 inches away from nationals. I was just on the trajectory. And the reason that's so valuable is because when I competed for state championships at Slippery Rock University, that was the site of the competition, against their team, which was robust, and in particular against the senior, it was the most dramatic, most thrilling experience of my life. And having won and conquered that moment, I grabbed my trophy, I hopped on the bus, I looked at it, and I realized, this isn't it. This isn't it. You know, I spent all this time working for something, and I got it, and it's a piece of plastic. And guess what? Tomorrow, everything starts over again. I start equal with everybody else, and they're all going to race and compete for the same thing. This can't be why I'm here. There has to be more. And I mean, I'm not going to pole vault my entire life. So at some point, no matter where this goes, it's going to end. And if my entire identity, if my whole life is wrapped up in this, then that means two things. Number one, I'm not going to be happy, and I'm going to go through a massive identity crisis sometime in the near future. But number two, I'm putting my own sense of self-worth in the minds of other people, because all of this is about comparing myself to others. And that's just never going to satisfy. And so I actually pumped the brakes, and I said, I'm in this car. I got to get out of this car. And I don't have another car to get into, but I know that I can't stay here. And so I started asking those deeper questions. I was 19 years old, and I looked up to God in the sky, and I said, if you are there, I really need help. I need to know if you are real, if you gave me a purpose, and if you gave me a purpose, what that purpose is. But I can't do that on my own. And so I had one friend that I knew was Catholic. Now, the real secret is all my friends were Catholic, but no one was talking about it. No one was telling me they were going to Mass.
Okay.
No one was telling me that they had sacraments all along the way.
Okay.
One friend did, and he was the one that I reached out to and began having a conversation. Now, for me, it wasn't a matter of I just want to believe something. The faith had to make sense, and I was immediately impressed with how logical, how rational the teachings of the church are and the gospel is. And I gave the gospel a chance to look at my human experience and interpret it in a way that actually made sense and put all the pieces into place. And it was so transformative of an experience for me. I realized I've been giving way too much time to something that doesn't matter, right? Like St. Paul would say, the crown that fades. And I need to be giving this time into the crown that's going to endure forever, into my relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I did that, but that was a hard shift because, remember, my entire identity was tied up with who I was as a student athlete and what that meant to me. And, and now I had to get that from something totally different.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you were, I forget how many inches you said you were away from nationals, right? And I think at that point, were you probably not also maybe even thinking maybe Olympics was a possibility at some point in time and maybe set that as a goal? Yes, no, maybe. Like that's how much you were so focused on pole vault?
Yeah, those conversations were definitely being had with my coach. It was certain that like Olympics was not in my immediate future because being 2 inches away from nationals versus being a true competitor in the Olympic sphere is quite a gap, but the people who were my coaches were involved in the Olympics. One competed in the 1976 Olympics, and the other one was his son. So they were very fluent in that whole territory and were tremendous assets to me on that path. But it just became clear that this is a dead end road, you know, for me because it was excluding me from something that was far more important that could reveal to me what I actually needed and wanted. So what happened from there was once I made that transition, I began sacrificing really everything that was a distraction for that. My friendships changed. I left track and field so that I could dedicate time to this. I entered into the RCIA program, and eventually I transferred universities where I could really full-time step into my identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I did that at Franciscan University and spent the remainder of my years in college there, beginning also to discern, you know, what my vocation was and what God had made me to do in this life. However, I would be remiss if I didn't share this with you. 4 weeks before I graduated, I was making a holy hour, and I'm sitting in front of the tabernacle, and as I'm praying about whatever, it might have been the Sunday readings, out of nowhere, this voice prompts me internally. It says, I want you to join the track team.
Join the track team.
Now, this was a huge... Right, that's exactly right. So I that's what I said, in fact. I was like, what are you talking about? I had left this behind at this point years ago. I had not been training. I have not been working towards any kind of end that regarded competition. I wasn't in shape for any of this. And when I pressed into it a little bit and pushed back, I would say, it became even stronger. You have to join the track team. You have to join the track team. So much so, as silly as I felt, I found the cross-country coach. Now, keep in mind, Franciscan at the time was not an NCAA school.
Okay.
I went to the cross-country coach, and I said to him, I know this is going to sound strange, but in my prayer, Jesus is telling me I need to join the track team. I need to pole vault. And he looked confused. He said, well, first of all, we don't have a track team. We only have a cross-country team. I don't know anything about pole vaulting. I don't have any poles for you to borrow. I don't have any pads for you to practice on. I can't help you in any competition, but we do tend to join track competitions just to keep the cross-country athletes in shape, and the first meet is on Wednesday. And I said, all right, sign me up. So I go to this track meet, and I forget the location that it was, but I'm at this track meet, and I have to go to the people who are hosting it and ask them if I can borrow a pole. This is very humbling for me because
I'm sure.
I used to be kind of a big deal, and now I'm basically a nobody in their eyes.
Yeah.
Now, who's hosting this track meet? Slippery Rock.
Oh,
and
wow.
Who are the ones that are actually running it? They're all the athletes that I competed against at state championships, and I ended up beating them out. So I have to go to the people that I beat in competition. The last time they saw me, I was in my prime, and I had to say to them, hey, and I look, of course, a mess. I'm borrowing track shoes. It's a bad scene. And I said, hey, do you mind if I borrow a pole? And they're looking at me with these quizzical glares. And they said, sure, I mean, we'll help you out, I guess. They gave me the poles that I needed. I competed. I came in third. I forget the height. It might have been like 13 and a half feet. It wasn't anything very impressive. And as I'm walking away down the runway back to my original spot, the coach at the time was sitting in a lawn chair facing the pads. He doesn't even look up at me. He doesn't even tilt his head. He just reaches his arm out while I'm passing by, grabs my wrist, and says to me, it's a shame you ever went to that school. You could have been somebody. And that's when I knew in my heart, I am somebody. I am a Christian. And that's the grace that God wanted me to have.
Wow.
Before the rest of my life could continue, he needed me to put the nail in the coffin, right, on this last experience and really understand that I am to find my identity only in the person of Jesus Christ and nowhere else.
I am tapping out. I'm tapping out. This is so powerful. Oh my gosh. I think I said this 2 weeks ago that Father Loomis, the hairs are standing up on my arm for probably the third time since you started sharing your story. This is how powerful this is.
Yeah, it's been amazing for me, and I've stood upon these graces many, many times because the faith life isn't always dramatic and spectacular and filled with, you know, divine intervention that is miraculous, but that doesn't mean that God isn't always operating. And I have remembered these moments in my life at any moment of uncertainty and realized that, no, I'm exactly where I need to be. And the God of my faith is truly all-powerful. And he's the source for me to understand anything in any moment and to return to it all times. And so, yeah, so from there, I was really free internally to then step more deeply into the plan that God had for my life, which eventually became very obvious, was the priesthood. But interestingly enough, again, just the 4 weeks that I was on that track team, there was someone on that track team that I needed to meet who would bridge the gap from where I was to where I needed to be, which was St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. And so it wasn't just that I needed to see the people at Slippery Rock, but there was actually even a more comprehensive grace that God had in mind.
Yeah, and you've said a few times in there about how powerful God is and that you had to surrender to him. And I was listening to you tell the story, and when you said that you're praying and you heard you need to join the track team, I was waiting for you to say it was metaphorical. It was you need to join the priesthood. You need to join the track team that is the priests that serve the church. And so once again, no, Bruce, don't listen to your own voice. Listen to the Lord, because this is what he ended up having for you. And folks, if you didn't hear the interview 2 weeks ago with Dr. Pat Castle, same thing happened. I mean, the Holy Spirit is truly intervening in so many of these conversations that I have, and I don't want you to take my word on it. I want you to be in a posture where you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit and you're ready to look for the Holy Spirit's intercession, because what I'm referring to is 2 weeks ago, Dr. Pat Castle, I was saying that the guest doesn't know what my ministry moment is going to be when I record each week, and what I said on that episode, 210, fit in just absolutely perfectly like a glove with what Dr. Pat Castle went on to say. And here I was talking about sacrifice in my ministry moment, and you heard Father Loomis say about the sacrifice that he made in deciding to give up on being all in with pole vault, and what powerful testimony he gave. We are 2 days away from Ash Wednesday. That means we all will be getting reminded about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I do ask you to please keep me and Catholic Sports Radio in your prayers so that I can continue to faithfully serve the Lord and all of you through this ministry. Pope Francis said, quote, "Lent is a privileged time for prayer," end quote. Please know that I appreciate your prayers, as well as, by the way, telling other people about this show so that we can all help grow it together and more brothers and sisters in Christ can get access to this resource to hopefully go deeper in their faith. But yes, then too, the almsgiving aspect of Lent, I do admit that over the first 4 years of doing this show every week, today's is number 212, I have been challenged by the many costs that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio, a great number of which I have reported to you over various episodes of this show, specific costs that I've cited. Those all have to come out of my own pocket. I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. This is something that I do because I felt called to it. In other words, it's not my full or even my part-time job. Thankfully, there have been some guests and some listeners that have made a financial gift to my ministry, and in your Lenten almsgiving, I ask you to kindly consider doing the same. If you like the work that I'm doing, if you want to say thanks, if you want to support this ministry to help me keep it going, do pray about utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it lets you put in whatever amount you're most comfortable sending. In other words, there's no list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. It also lets you include a note for me to see. Alternatively, as some have opted to do instead, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. Trust me when I say that it all helps very much, and it means so, so much to me. I tell you as much as I can about the different bills that come in for Catholic Sports Radio. I will say, by the way, on the air, the name of anyone who makes a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio, or you can tell me to keep it anonymous. And that, of course, is regardless of whether you send a gift through the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or send a check through the mail. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Father Loomis, I mentioned back in the intro that you're just 3 months away from the 10-year anniversary of your ordination to the priesthood, and I wonder if this is the name that you were going to say. You were starting to mention someone that you were meant to meet. Share with the audience about Bishop Joseph McFadden and why he is part of your story, including me mentioning him in the context of your ordination in May 2013.
He is a tremendous part of my story. So one of the things I hadn't mentioned was that towards the end of my college time, I was beginning the application process for St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. But keep in mind, while I was in college, I was still less than 2 years old in the Catholic faith and in the Catholic Church. Mm. So canon law stipulates that you have to be at least 3 years as a Catholic before you can be considered a candidate. Not that I knew canon law said that at the time. And so In my conversations with the seminary, I was having a very difficult time because the vocations director wasn't being direct and telling me, listen, you're a convert to the faith. With that comes certain risks because regarding discernment, it's very difficult to tell whether it's you're just very excited and you're on fire because everything's new, or this is actually the fruit of genuine, solid discernment from which you can proceed forth. He wasn't saying any of that stuff to me. It was just more of a lack of interest. And myself, who is very fluent in the athletic realm and having been recruited and things like that, found this to be very contrary to my experience that, if you want an athlete, you're calling that guy, you're checking in with that guy, you're really trying to sell yourself. And this was the opposite. I'm having to call him. He's not returning my phone calls. And I was really confused by all of this. And so on that track team, when I was at Franciscan University, was a cross-country runner named Jason Buck. And Jason and I are becoming quick friends because he's also from the same diocese. He only lived 40 minutes from the house that I grew up in. And he's asking me about my life and where I want to go once he and I graduate, because we're both in the same year. And I was talking to him about, well, I think I'm going to be a teacher, because I didn't want to get into the whole vocation stuff, and I needed to find an alternative at the time while I was struggling to figure out what was going on. And he said, hey, listen, I know the auxiliary bishop who oversees Catholic education in the diocese. He was my former pastor. I can connect you guys. And I said, hey, that would be really great. So I came home to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I met with Bishop McFadden. And I was so grateful for his time because he didn't fit me into like this tight window. Yeah. He made an appointment with me. I showed up, and we talked about the faith for like 2 hours. And later on, he told me that once I was in the seminary and everything, he told me that he was making a holy hour, and the Blessed Mother said to him very clearly, you need to help this man with his vocation.
Wow.
And I did not tell the bishop anything about my discernment to the priesthood because I thought, it's going to seem like I'm trying to get in the back door. I don't want to be manipulative. I just want to be direct, straightforward. So he was going to help me find a teaching position, but at the same time, he starts talking to Jason and says, hey, what's up with this guy? And so on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, both of them invite me to dinner. And I, very unsuspecting and very innocent, said, sure, I'll go. And so we're at dinner in Philadelphia, and Jason goes to use the restroom, and the bishop looks at me deadpan, and he says, why are you not in the seminary? And I said to him, again, not wanting to in any way undermine the process, I just said, you know what, Bishop, I'm just looking for a green light. And he said, green light. And I was like, is this for real? And he said, I want you tomorrow to contact the vocations director and let him know you want an application. And so what he was doing was he was flexing the canon law at that point, saying, hey, I think we got a worthy candidate. We don't want to miss this opportunity. Not everything fits in a box, you know.
Wow.
And so I got the application process, and then right around the Feast of Our Lady's Assumption, I was accepted into St. Charles. But it was a difficult thing because, remember, my family wasn't Catholic.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of resistance. Both my parents, even though they had built separate lives, I had step families on both sides and such, they said to me, this is not our plan for you. And I was fine with that because I knew it was God's plan. And they weren't really going to support me at the time. And it is a big adjustment for people who aren't really practicing Christians, you know, to have their only son go into the seminary.
Yeah.
But Bishop McFadden supported me every step of the way. If I ever needed anything, he provided it, whether that would be financial support, whether that would be spiritual support. We would pray together. He would teach me some things that I didn't understand. And he just connected me with everything and everyone that I needed in that process until eventually I was going to be ordained. And he said, listen, as my gift to you for your ordination, I want to host your reception. And so he planned the whole thing out and got me a really nice place. It was the Union League in Philadelphia. And then 2 weeks before I was ordained, he actually had a heart attack and he died. He was also supposed to be the one who was going to preach my first Mass. And that really shocked me because, you know, again, God's plan, like, what is this? And I know that God's plan is not only about me. He's got a plan that includes everybody and wraps everybody into it, you know? So, however, I knew at least a part of that was that this man, who's the males in his family always died by the age of like 52, and he had lived to 62. So he was way past his typical date.
Yeah.
But what became very clear for me was like God had him hang in there because I needed it. But then once I had sort of arrived, there was no longer that need in the same way. And so I know his plan for Bishop McFadden was much bigger than that, but I knew that that was at least a part of it.
That's right.
If he had gone a moment sooner, it would have been too soon. Like I would not have had what I needed. But as soon as I wasn't as vulnerable the way that I used to be, he passed. He's been kind of like a little patron saint in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly pray for him, and I got my own Marian spirituality from him.
Well, and there's another story of victory, too, because you mentioned in there about your family, and yet your father ended up converting to Catholicism eventually, yes?
Yes, that's true. So, again, like God's grace is just so comprehensive. So even this whole conversion story also isn't just about me, you know. God wants the salvation of my family, and he wants the flourishing even in this life of my family. And so my vocation, my conversion and then my vocation to priesthood was meant to go beyond me and reach into my family. And so he gave my family a priest, which is another way of saying that. And so since all of those things have transpired, a lot has changed. Both my parents divorced the spouses that they had at the time. They are both now married together. So for the first time in my life, my actual biological mother and father are married, and I have a very strong family unit. And my dad himself ended up becoming a Catholic. And so since I'm stationed in Havertown where I grew up, my dad comes every week, and I see him sitting there in the front pew of my own parish, which is just something I could never have imagined when I was in high school,
and how.
So, yeah, God is amazing.
Yeah, and there's a gift that you've been giving that you've used in your ministry. I'd love for you to share with the listeners about your having learned sign language and how and where you've been able to use that.
Yeah, so, you know, as God's plan continued to unfold, it actually was the very first week that I entered into seminary that I saw this little note on the message board that we all as seminarians would pass by, and it was from the academic dean, and it said, you know, I want you to come and I want you to see me immediately. Of course, I'm thinking, I just got here, I'm getting kicked out, what could I have possibly done, you know, this is a disaster. And I go and meet with him, and I'm waiting for him to, like, lower the boom, you know, because it just seemed too good to be true. Like, how did I get in here? Like, all this stuff is just streamlining by grace, and of course it couldn't be this good, and here's the end. And but he starts talking about all these deaf people, and I, of course, had no experience with anybody that was deaf or sign language, but he's talking about how the church needs to be able to minister to them, and they're under-catechized, and, you know, he's giving me the history of deaf ministry in our diocese, which has over 100 years of committed labor in the vineyard, and then he looks at me and he says, you know, I would like you to make sign language as part of your formation. And I said, what? Because I have no experience of having a knack with languages. I was bombing in high school with Spanish, and I struggled at cook Spanish, some of that. It just wasn't my bag. It never really clicked. But at the same time, I wasn't asking for this. So again, trying to live that charism there of trust in divine providence, I said, okay, I'll do it. And I couldn't believe it, but, like, I just took off. Like, I was picking up the vocabulary. I was understanding the structures.
Wow.
Now, I had about 2 semesters worth of it until that ended, and I really could feel in my soul, like, I think there's a plan here, so I need to sacrifice more. I need to step into this more. So in my own free time, I would meet with a deaf man every single week for 6 years, including my summer vacations.
Wow.
And throughout that process, I really picked up the language. And then after I was ordained, I completed the interpreter program at the Community College of Philadelphia. And so throughout all my years of seminary and then the last almost 10 years of priesthood, I have been able to celebrate and to share the Catholic faith with a deaf community that otherwise I would have never known in a manner that God blessed, because I certainly have a knack for it. And one of the ways that I've been able to do that is through the generosity of Ascension Press, because the deaf as a Catholic community, they don't have the resources that we have. They don't have a radio station. They don't have digital platforms and videos. They have no Bishop Barron, like all these things, they don't exist for them.
Wow.
And so Ascension, which is also in the Diocese of Philadelphia, we collaborated and said, hey, let's actually create the first ever adult catechesis that is targeted to the deaf community using American Sign Language as its first language.
Fantastic.
And that's what we did. And I just completed another project with a couple of deaf priests in the United States on an introduction to Mariology, because, you know, if you want to get to know Jesus, you got to know his mom. And so that has been a real blessing as well, which is to get to know and get to celebrate the Catholic Church in a deaf space.
So beautiful, so beautiful. As we get ready to wind down our conversation, I wonder, just getting back to sports a little bit, do you closely follow, say, Kutztown University pole vault? Will you watch the Paris Olympics next year to see pole vault?
I generally check in with the Olympics because I do love, love, love to see pole vaulting. But I have to be honest, there was a real break when I converted. And so I just decided to really leave that part of my life behind.
Sure.
So I don't closely follow it. And I try, actually, because I live in Philadelphia, which is feverish about sports. I try to really limit and restrain myself when it comes to my level of engagement with sports overall, because I know how attractive it is.
That's right.
And I know for me that speaks of a time in my life that, you know, was without God, and I'm just all in with God now.
Okay, but, and this will be our final question, we are recording this the day before the Super Bowl, and your parish is in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, after all. So how much green have you been seeing the parishioners wear to Mass? How much have you all been praying for the Eagles to win? How much have you been making references to them in your homilies?
Oh, yeah, I have to say, this is, it's definitely a fever pitch these days. People have green hair, they're wearing their green shirts, their socks, their gloves, their jackets, everything. They even think, because we're in ordinary times, the green vestments I'm wearing are for the Eagles. People want to hear "On Eagles Wings" at Mass. Like, it's really pretty strong. And so I have to kind of push back a little bit and keep it in its proper place. So I say, hey, have your Super Bowl party, let's do this. But, you know, at the same time, remember, we're here for Jesus Christ. And it's very exciting. And I'm trying to use that as best I can as a platform to share the gospel.
Yeah, we're here for Jesus Christ, not for Jalen Hurts. Father Loomis, so wonderful to have you on the show. God bless you for the work that you're doing. I appreciate you making time to be here. And thank you so much for sharing your beautiful and powerful witness with us. My gosh, such a blessing.
You are most welcome. It's a joy for me to join you.
And folks, Father Loomis has been kind enough to agree to do our closing prayer for us every week. You know that whenever my guest is a member of the clergy, I always, by all means, defer. So, Father Loomis, if you would close us out in prayer, please.
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask that you would enter into the minds and the hearts of Bruce, myself, and all those who are listening, so that knowledge of the Son of God and the revelation of your gospel may penetrate all of us deeply and draw us more closely into the mysteries of our salvation, so that we may with joy embrace them and share them with a world that desperately needs to hear this message. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is @CathSportsRadio on all those, CATH, @CathSportsRadio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.